The boys are in the starting stalls. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Stand by for a start for Moody on the mic.
Back again, Moody on the mic. We started Group 1 racing last weekend, and we started with a bang. The Moody on the mic team going beautifully, and mainly on the back of this man, Peter Moody, whose podcast it is, Moods, I Wish I Win, returned in style. Didn't win the Group 1, but he looks very, very good, and next time we see him, we'll be in the $20 million Everest.
Yeah, no, it was a great day's racing at, where'd we go? Caulfield. That's right. The old home track. It was a great day's racing and terrific weather. Brought plenty of people out and terrific racing. And I Wish I Win, he ran superb. Didn't run as well as Mr. Brightside, probably Australia's most underrated galloper. But I was very pleased with the return of I Wish I Win. Failed by about a half length, but I thought he ran very, very well. And now all roads lead to the Everest with the Entain New Zealand trackside slot on the 14th of October.
Rayman, welcome to you and also to Mytho here as well. Is Mr. Brightside still underrated, Rayman? Because he's now got, what, two Doncasters, a Memsey, an All-Star Mile, a stack of millions in the bank, and it's a terrific racing story because he just got worked through the grades beautifully and now he's a star.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Rog. It's that sort of ideal Australian racing story where there wasn't a huge amount of expectation about this horse when he started his racing career. He sort of worked his way through the grades at Moonee Valley, sort of picking off races, and then he's gone banging that Doncaster Mile. And then that sort of, at the time, we would have thought, okay, that's the big race on his resume. It's going to be tough for him to reach those heights again. But not only has he reached those heights again, he's gotten even better. So I think probably now after the Memsey Stakes, he's probably now getting the credit that he does deserve. But I certainly have been a person that's basically been opposed against him every time he goes to the races, and he keeps proving me wrong. I didn't back him on Saturday in the Memsey. I haven't backed him at either of his Doncasters. I haven't backed him in the All-Star Mile either, and every time he's proven me wrong. So I think it's a great story for the horse, and it's just a great story for the new look Lindsay Park. I think there was probably a lot of people that thought when David Hayes made the move back to Hong Kong that the boys may struggle without him, and it hasn't been the case at all. And Mr. Brightside has sort of been the banner horse for them. So he's an absolute marvel, Mr. Brightside. And it was just great racing at Caulfield on Saturday. That finish to the Memsey Stakes with Mr. Brightside going head to head with I Wish I Win, Alligator Blood in for the fight. Princess Grace was very good. I think she's heading towards an Epson. It was just good racing, and hopefully it's a sign of things to come for the spring. So I think that Memsey Stakes is going to be a hot form race going forward.
Yeah, exciting things to come indeed this spring, and I think Anthony Mitten's going to be very, very excited about one particular runner on Saturday, and that was Legacies for the Peter Moody stable in the Rosemont colours, running second. And given that Moody's said to approach with caution, she's only going to come on from this, Mytho, you would have been very excited with how she finished off.
Yeah, we've got a very good horse. We didn't get the result, but you walk off track as happy as you possibly can be for getting beaten. And Moods' reaction to me down in the mounting yard afterwards was, geez, I fucking hate being right. I knew she was a run short of being able to win, and she was exactly that. I mean, she showed her class. She showed that she's well and truly up to that level and up against the boys. You know, she beat all bar one of the boys, who looks a very good horse, V8, who actually spelled in the paddock that I'm looking at right now, and came back enormous for his first up run to win that race. But for Legacies to match it, mix it, and really, Moods, you'd have to agree with me. She looked the worst out of the yard, but performed almost the best. So you've only got natural improvement to come, and I believe she's come on for the run, and she'll be hard to beat the rest of the prep.
They were poorly trained, weren't they? Both her and I Wish I Win. They went to the races not quite fit enough and both finished by a half length. But they've both got deep springs, obviously got targets well down the track. And although it would have been great to win with both horses, I think, it does look very exciting going forward for sure.
Just on that, Moods, is that something that the punters who listen to this show and follow your stable should really take into account? It seems, and this is talking from personal experience, so you might have some more horses to add into it, but it seems that there've been this glut of horses that have got a big spring ahead of them, that have sort of come online in the last couple of weeks for their first up run, and nearly to a horse, the ones I've had exposure to, have all done exactly the same thing, showed their class, just peaked on their run, going to improve from it, rather than going to the trials and being rock hard fit first up and not having a horse for your grand final. There's plenty of horse for you to work with. I talk of, you know, Legacy Pounding. He loomed it up, to look like he wanted to tackle Mr. Brightside, and a few then got past him late as he peaked on his run. Moesha, who we were tipping on this show a couple of weeks ago. There's a couple others that I've just noted have been of that vein. Is that your training style coming through, and should we be following your second and third up?
Oh, listen, it's a dangerous thing. Like, you don't want horses to go to the races too underdone and it can be too taxing. But at the same time, mindful that you've probably got goals in mind, you know, whether it's 4, 6, 8, 10 weeks down the track. And I think the other thing is I haven't taken my horses away from home a lot this spring. We haven't been away for public trials and track gallops, and a lot of the other horses have it. And kudos to their trainers for doing that. Have I been a little bit lazy in that aspect? I'm not quite sure. The Memsey in particular was a Group 1, and the McNeil for your filly Legacies was a Group 3 on Saturday, and that would have been terrific on their resumes, and ideally, particularly for Legacies, being a filly, very important. But mindful that there are bigger goals down the track, I've probably left a little more in the tank. I've probably been known more as a trainer that does have them really ready first up in the past, but just with a couple of these horses, and for some reason, whether it's climatic or that, I've noticed that they haven't come on quite as early as others. Like, some of my other horses have stepped out and have performed and won first up, so it's not something I've designed or tapered into, right, changed into their training. It's just the way the horses have come on, and I'm happy to think that they are going to improve significantly.
He did say last week to approach with caution in terms of, you were having a punt on both Legacies and I Wish I Win, because they did have bigger goals in mind. You did, though, give a big push for Nunthorpe, and, well, Nunthorpe delivered. Jamie Carr's first city win since her return. What is the plans for that horse going forward?
Yeah, she was very good, and it was great to see Jay Carr back on track in Melbourne, wasn't it, and flying the flag, and a very good ride by Jamie there. We'll just try and work our way through the grade. She's still a ratings mare, but I think she finds herself a nice mare stakes race in the next few weeks now. But they're races that aren't going to be that simple either. I know I've got two or three mares aimed towards the Let's Elope at Flemington in a couple of weeks. And we've got the Wonder from the West arriving, Simon Miller's good mare, and they're going to be very hard races as well. So just where she goes, I'm not sure, but obviously with fillies and mares, we're looking to add black type to their resume going forward. And sadly, we lost a couple of stable stalwarts on Saturday. A couple of mares that have been great servants of the stable in Sai and Dance to Dubai. I think each of them have won 6 or 7 races each for the stable and have been staples of the stable since they've returned to the stables. And we made the ultimate decision to retire both mares to stud after their respective runs on Saturday. Sai ran quite flat in the sprint race, the Heath on Saturday, as did Dance to Dubai and the Cockrum Stakes. So hard to replace those types of horses. They've always had a win or two in them every preparation, but they'll go on to greener pastures, and I'm sure they'll both throw very nice foals going forward.
Just circling back to I Wish I Win, Moods, how has he come out of the Memsey Stakes? What have you done with him this week? And then what's the plan now going forward to get him cherry ripe for Everest Day?
Well, Rain Man, I think you've probably got to watch the updates on Ladbroke, seeing you've been sending out cameramen and reporters to drive me fucking mad for the last week or so. I had a cameraman there straight after the race on Saturday. I had cameras and reporters at my stables today. So I'm going to leave it to you to follow those updates on Ladbrokes and Entain and Trackside.com in New Zealand, and you'll be able to get everything you need to know on I Wish I Win.
What a plug. I don't even have to do the plugs anymore. Moots is doing them for me. What a world.
This is the only Ladbrokes platform that we're not going to get an I Wish I Win update on. Is that what you're saying?
Well, crikey. I cannot believe Rain Man stepped up and asked me that after having media chasing me everywhere for the last week. So just to add injury to insult, I'm going to not give an update, and I'm going to ask people to go and have a look on another platform. He has pulled up very well, and he will be at the Everest on 14 October.
But this is, you might not get the "I wish I win" update on this podcast, but it's the only time you'll hear Moods on other horses, because as we mentioned last week, he makes Catherine do all the media outside of this podcast. So it's a win-win-win for everyone. Hey, just quickly, it was the Birdsville Cup on the weekend, and we, as we know, the Birdsville Cup is the race that you would like to win more than any other. Peter Moody, I was sitting with my mate Ben on the weekend, we're watching the races, and we're talking about that very fact, and Ben goes to me, "Well, if he wants to win the Birdsville Cup, why didn't he just fucking go and win it? Like, take "I wish I win" up there, it'll carry 110 kilos, he can fucking ride the winner himself."
Yeah, one of the iconic meetings of Australia, the Birdsville meeting, last Friday and Saturday, always the first Saturday in September Cup Day and the Friday leading into it, and they tell me it was a great meeting. Good deal of my mates from Western Queensland went up there, and even more fitting for a local somewhat, a Māori born and raised man and a close neighbour and a good mate of mine at Pakenham, Philip Stokes. Stokes, he won the Birdsville Cup for the Brook family, who have been a big staple of Birdsville. The Brook family, their homestead for their cattle station is actually in the main street of Birdsville. They've been part owners of the Birdsville pub. They own the roadhouse and not much else they don't own. And single-handedly, David, Nell, Gary, Brooke and their families have run the Birdsville Race Club for a lot of years. So very fitting for them to win the Birdsville Cup on a Saturday afternoon. There was a terrific crowd there. The wind picked up and got a little bit dusty. But they tell me there was good money in the betting ring. And a good mate of mine, a bookmaker out there, said there was 12 bookmakers in the ring at Birdsville. He went to Doomben the week before. There was 3 bookmakers. And he took a bet of 40,000 to 10,000 one cash. And he said, if I had to have that on with any agency or bookmaker on course anywhere in Australia, they would have cut me down. And that was the sort of wagering they were handling at Birdsville the other day. They might have shared it around with a few of the other local bookmakers, but that's what a terrific meeting was, a good betting meeting, and everyone had a good time. And more importantly, most got home safely, I'd reckon, outside of Sorehead.
Ooh, race 7's about to jump. What do we reckon, lads?
A guy in the community says he's keen on the roughie.
Do we trust him?
Well, his username is "I'm a real big stats guy."
Say no more.
Connect, banter and follow tips with a community of like-minded punters only in Ladbrokes Communities. Ladbroke it! T's and C's apply and available on website. You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Let's take a look at some of the biggest races around the country this weekend. We're going to start in Sydney, the Run to the Rose, the 3-year-olds, Rayman. We've got a pretty short price favourite here from the Godolphin stable.
Yeah, I love the Run to the Rose, Rog. We see a lot of the classy 3-year-olds do battle here. And as you mentioned, Cylinder is the horse that isn't a starter, is a clear favourite. It's currently $2.20 with Ladbrokes. Libertad, the San Domenico Stakes winner on the second line of betting at $4.20. Don Corleone, he was very classy as a 2-year-old. He's there at $7.50. And you've got the returning Militarize at double figure odds. It's $14. So as it always is, the Run to the Rose, it's an outstanding race. And we often see a short price favourite in the Run to the Rose. And this year I want to take on the favourite in the form of Cylinder. And no knock on the horse, who I do have a big opinion of. But I thought he was only playing first up where he got the job done in the Vane Stakes, but he certainly wasn't overly impressive. There's no doubt he will take improvement from that performance, but he's going to need to do that to beat a number of these horses. So I want to back a few horses to beat Cylinder. First off, I do want to back Libertad there at $4.20, who's 3 from 3 in its racing career today. It was very good first up in the San Domenico Stakes. It was the performance that suggests to me that it's a horse that can take improvement from that run as well. So it's an untapped horse at the moment that's just spiraling from a rating standpoint. So I want to have something on it at $4.20. Don Corleone only won the one race as a 2-year-old from 6 race starts. But for me, it always looked like a colt that might be even better as a 3-year-old. So it's open $7.50. I want to have something on him because he doesn't need to take much improvement to be right up there with the top 3-year-olds of this generation. And then Militarize will definitely take benefit from this run, will definitely be better over further. It's the horse that won the English Sires and the Champagne Stakes over 1,400 metres and 1,600 metres respectively. But this is a horse that could just be a genuine superstar. It will need to be that to win this race over 1,200 metres because I think the Golden Rose and then the Caulfield Guineas will be his major targets. But at $14, a horse with his ability, I want to have something small on as I try to knock off Cylinder here.
I think Militarise is absolutely the one to follow this spring as he gets out to sort of 1400 and beyond. I'm going to let him go around this weekend. Don Corleone, I thought, was the one who potentially could upset Cylinder. But to be honest, I think Cylinder, while not overly impressive winning the Vane Stakes, still won and will take improvement. And I think he's just the best horse in the race. So I'm going to take the $2.15 or whatever. Potentially, you might even get $2.20, $2.30 on the day. I'm going to go with Cylinder here to win. Don Corleone is the danger for mine, and Militarise is the one I want to follow. But give me Cylinder. I'm happy to take the shorty at 1,200.
I'm getting $2.20 on my app as we speak at 4:30 on Wednesday afternoon. So, yeah, I'm a bit with you, Rog. I probably want to have something, probably want to back Cylinder to win, and I'm going to back Militarise to place. I'm with you. I think this horse might be a superstar. It's only had last preparation was its only preparations, and it won first time out. So it has been produced first up. Its trials have only been moderate, but you wouldn't expect it to be fully wound up, bit what we were talking with Moods about earlier. But Militarise at 340, the place. I don't mind that as a bet, as your little saver to cover off in case Cylinder does get rolled at the 220. So they're the two bets I'll be having. Cylinder to win, Militarise to place. And both can happen, and I can win both ways.
I've been living under a mushroom down at Pakenham, boys, but why isn't J-Mac riding this weekend? Is he still a little battered and bruised from his wiring fall?
He had a further scan yesterday, and he's out for a month with a foot injury. So he will be back riding, hopefully, later in the spring.
Oh, well, that's very disappointing news. We don't like to lose our star riders, and I was totally unaware of that. So
new rider for Shinzo, and it's thrown all sorts of things into chaos.
Right. Well, that's not good to hear at all, because we like to see our best there. Listen, I'm sticking with the winner here, Libertad. 3 from 3. I thought he was very impressive in the San Domenico. Quite a gross colt. I think he'll come on for the world's best trainer, Annabelle Neesham. Listen, I thought Cylinder was just tradesmanlike in the Vane Stakes. Listen, I don't think he raced to his market price. Now, I'm not potting the horse. I think he's a very good colt, but I just thought Libertad might have had more upside. He's still learning his craft. He got the job done. And I just thought he was open to more upside than Cylinder. So for me, Libertad to get a good run from the draw, I think he'll be very hard to beat. And like you've all mentioned, really looking forward to seeing how Militarise returns. He has won at 1,200, albeit a Canterbury maiden, but he'll be very strong through the line, one would imagine. But I'm with Libertad.
Let's go to Theo Marks. And Rayman, when you threw this one out as a race to look at, I trembled, because it is a very, very tough race.
It is a very open betting race, Rog, but I think it's going to be a very interesting race going forward for the rest of the spring carnival. And one of the, maybe the hype horse for the spring, one of them at least, Kovalika, will return to the races in the Theo Marks Stakes. He won the Ladbrokes Queensland Derby in impressive fashion during the Brisbane Winter Racing Carnival. And he's a horse that's been tipped as a potential Epsom horse, a potential Caulfield Cup horse as well. And interestingly, this is the same race that Wink started her spring campaign in after she won her first group one in the Queensland Oaks and started that incredible spring that concluded with a win in the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. But Kovalika, the $5 favourite. Nugget, who was placed in a Doncaster, $6. Zugotcha, $7. Madame Pomeray, $8. There's a host of classic horses in this race. And the horse I want to back is the horse that does have a bit of a fitness edge over at some of its main rivals, and that is Madame Pomeray, the 1,000 Guineas winner. She's currently $8 in the market with Ladbrokes, but I really like what she did with her in her first up run behind Pericles in the spring preview. That form has been franked going forward. She's drawn nicely in barrier one here to get a nice run just behind the speed with Dylan Gibbons in the saddle. I think just horses like Kovalika and Nugget, I think, will take benefit from this run. Well, I think second up, Madame Pomeray is ready to run it close to her peak, which would have her right in the race. You're looking for one for your exotics. A horse I think can run better than its price suggests is Cuban Royale, $35. He doesn't win out of turn, but he's a veteran galloper. He's 9 years old, but he's still just running some really good ratings. He was unlucky last start first up. He'll take good improvement second up. If there's a blowout result in this race, I think it will be number 16, Cuban Royale, who's $35 to win, $8.50 to place with Ladbrokes.
Bugger all winning form here outside of Kovalika, who, you know, does want a bit further than the 1,300, but who can beat him? Well, I want to play a couple of odds as well. Not as big odds as the one you threw out there, Rayman, but I think the toppy, the little Tassie engine that could, the inevitable at $14, should be a bit more suited than most to this trip. and got a very big heart, bigger than the island itself that it's from. Also, an old favourite, former Freedman runner, now with Joe Pride, Argentia. Speaking of horses that doesn't, or that don't win out of turn, doesn't win often, Argentia. But look, if she can find her best, or if Joey Pride can get the best out of her, then I think she can potentially run a big race over 1300, and is worth a nibble at $12.
Yeah, that's me too, Rog. Argentia each way, just because it is almost an impossible race. So I've looked for a bit of value and settled on Argentia. I think she's very talented, and we haven't seen the best of her yet. $12, that'll do me each way. Moods?
We're going for a three-peat here, boys. I'm with Argentia each way also. I thought she's terrific odds. Joe Pride's playing the slow game with a gentle build-up, couple of soft trials. She's now heads to the races, third run in. She was very good behind Buenos Noches last start. And I thought in a very open race, she was probably the one to beat. And I want to throw out a little wild card, boys. What's the chances of C. Waller sending an SOS out to the magic man, Jose Moreira? Any risk that the magic man could arrive on Australian shores? He went wide in the autumn for Joe, and I just wonder if it might have been a bit late with J-Mac out. He's got to share the services of the likes of Nash Rawilla and Kieran McAvoy and the likes, Jason Collett, with the big all-conquering Godolphin stable. Any chance Joe might arrive? What do you reckon, Rain Man? You're looking itchy there to announce something.
That is confirmed, Moods. Moreira, he'll be in Australia from Golden Rose Day. And I wouldn't be shocked if he does come a little bit earlier for the exact reasons that you've outlined. That was announced before we knew the extent of J-Mac's injury. So I wouldn't be surprised if that date does get moved forward somewhat because, yeah, I can only imagine what the phones were like. Chris Waller would have had, and Godolphin, there would have been phone calls going everywhere from jockeys and jockeys agents trying to pick up this slew of rides that are now available with J-Mac out of action.
I think Huey Bowman's over too, isn't he, on Sunday and here for an extended stay too. So I'm not sure how that all works with the... When's Hong Kong racing kick up again, Rayman? We're still a few weeks away.
I think it's another week or two.
Yeah, they've got two weeks before they're back in action in Hong Kong.
But then they have relinquished these rules, haven't they, in Hong Kong, and allowing the jockeys to come and go a bit more frequently than before. The Hong Kong Jockey Club sort of forced a little... their hand was forced, wasn't it?
But they're not allowed to miss a meeting. So if they race on a Saturday there's no way they can be here.
Yeah.
We're going to get to see some good jockeys out here this spring because, of course, Frankie Dettori coming out later in the spring as well, Joe Moreira. It's Zach Purton's going to be riding. So
Mark White, Aussie Tom's coming back out.
So we're going
to... And Holly Doyle, the Royal Couple, Tom Marquardt and Holly Doyle. Yep. So, but we've got our great riders here, and it gives great opportunity. We see some of these young stars of Sydney racing, Zach Lloyd, Dylan Gibbons and the likes stepping up to the plate. Tyler Schiller, we saw him get the job done last weekend on a couple there.
While we're talking jockeys, it was probably remiss of us. We didn't mention the training performance on I Wish I Win and how it probably cost him the race, but we didn't mention the ride from Luke Nolan. Probably a 12 out of 10. It's like the sort of ride that you dream of in a video game where he's got him on the rail, he got him out the exact right time, angled him up without missing a stride. I thought it was a great ride from Luke Nolan as he and it just shows he can still deliver in a big race as well as any of them.
I thought you were going to actually use that to then segue into a social media video I saw that Ladbrokes has done with Luke Nolan this week.
Well, that was last week, but yeah, you still check that one out, punters, because it's a great insight into Luke Nolan and how he's a little bit different to the rank and file jockey.
No doubt about that, but you know my opinion of Al Nolan. He can mix it with the best each and every day. So, it was a good ride. Unfortunately, not the deserved result.
Let's get back to the horses rather than the jockeys, the McEwen Stakes, and we get our first look at the spring and our only look in Melbourne of Giga Kick, and he's gone up a reasonably short price favourite with Ladbrokes, Rayman.
Here's the odds-on favourite at the moment, Giga Kick, in the McEwen Stakes. He's $1.95. The star Kiwi Sprinting Mare Imperatrice is $3.90. Rothfire, who won this race last year, is $5.50. Acumantula, who's last start at the Valley, is $9.50. Zoo Style, who will go forward and lead them a merry chase, is $12. It's a really good addition in the McEwen Stakes. Giga Kick I think he's not comfortably. I think he is the best horse in this race, and he is going to be, in my opinion, the main danger to I Wish I Win in the Everest. But I'm not 100% sure he'll be completely wound up for his first up assignment here in the McEwen Stakes. We saw him in the autumn, first up in the Challenge Stakes. He was definitely, as Clayton Douglas admitted going into the race, he was a little bit underdone going into that race. Giga Kiki was settled at the tail of the field. He absolutely stormed home late. It was a run of a horse that you wanted to back going forward. Then he went out and ran really well behind I Wish I Win in the TJ Smith, and then won the all-age stakes in impressive fashion. But I'm not 100% confident he's an out-and-out 1,000-metre horse, and I do think that he will have improvement left in him. So the $1.95 just does concern me a little bit. Imperatrice is the horse I want to back here. I think she's an outstanding mare. We saw what she did in Australia in the autumn, where she won the William Reid Stakes in really impressive fashion. Probably the one knock on her for me is the fact she doesn't have she's never had a race start over 1,000 metres. She's won from 1,100 up to a mile. So the 1,000 metres is a little bit of an unknown, but she's a very, very classy sprinter in her own right. I think she'll go to the Moya after this, and then she'll go to a Ladbrokes Monte Carlo Stakes and be very tough to beat there. But I think she might just be a little bit further forward than Giga Kick is here. And at the $3.90 compared to the $1.95, I want to back the Kiwi mare Imperatrice.
It was mooted on this very podcast that we might see I Wish I Win a Giga Kick square off first up in the McEwen, but alas, that's not to be. But this has been the race that Clayton said on this podcast, 4 months ago, that Giga Kick would resume in. And I think for that reason, the 1,000 metres concerns me as well, Rayman, and I don't really want to back him at $1.90, but I also don't really want to bet against him. I think the two horses you outlined, Giga Kick and Imperatrice, are the two. So I'm probably just going to have a small play to Quinella, and as to the finishing order, I'm just not sure. But 1,000 metres is a risk with Giga Kick, because it's not just the Everest, the potentially the Golden Eagle as well. We could see the richest spring we've ever seen for a horse. So, I love Giga Kick. I don't want to bet against him. So I might just have a small play to Quinella here, but Imperatrice is definitely the danger.
I see it a bit differently. I see the $1.95 as a bit of a gift for punters. He's world class, this horse. And I think he'll get the run of the race. He'll be suited. It's too quick for them, Giga Kick. I'm reading it as a bit of a trial for cash for Giga Kick before he heads off to Sydney for all those riches up there, and can't wait to see him take on a horse that might challenge him like I Wish I Win, but I can't see any of these challenging him. So I'm long Giga Kick.
Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing the return of Giga Kick. His trials and his work, he's looked an absolute beast. He looks like he's really growing into a fine horse. He's always been a little bit underfurnished and undeveloped, and he's looked absolutely enormous. And I feel he's certainly the horse to beat, but I sort of don't quite agree with Mytho there. I thought Rothfire was the one that mapped to get the absolute perfect run here. I thought Zoo Style and Acromantula, whatever it is, will lead up at a vicious rate of knots. And I just thought B Shin would be smoking his pipe just on their backs. He would be the first one to challenge, attack them three deep. And it'll be hold your breath the last 25 metres with Giga Kick and both Imperators coming with a fair amount of wind in their sails. But what price Rothfire, right, man?
$5.50 at the moment, Moods.
I just thought it might just map around the valley, a winner of this race last year. I just thought he'd be the third horse in running, and he might be the first one to pounce. And on that short valley straight, the other two have got to get round the bend and probably give him a couple of lengths start. He might just take a fair bit of running down, and he's a hell of a horse, a Rothfire. So, listen, all interest in Giga Kick and Imperatrice, but I just thought it might map for Rothfire here on Saturday.
It is Fiend Stakes Day at the Valley, the golden ticket into the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. And what does the market look like for the Fiend?
Yeah, I've got a really interesting horse as the favourite here, Rog Globe. 4 wins from 4 starts for Roll the Dice Racing and the Mick Price and Michael Kent Jr. team. It's the $3.10 favourite. Tuvalu's been well backed early on the as he returns from injury. He's $5.50. Attrition, $7.50. And once again, double figure odds for the Pounder, one of our favorites, pounding $14 to win, the win $4 to place. I think it's a pretty interesting addition of the Fee and Stakes with that golden ticket into the Ladbrokes Cox Plate up for grabs. Globe is the high horse, but this is comfortably the toughest test of his racing career to date. He has been very good in his four race wins so far, but this is another level again. And I'm happy to take him on at the $3.10, drawing a little sticky as well, barrier 12 with Jamie Carr in the saddle. I'm happy to take him on. I think there's a horse that represents really good value here, and that is Attrition at $7.50. He was very good behind Mr. Brightside in the PB Lawrence Stakes first up, and we've already seen the format of that be quite strong. I think he'll improve on that run second up, and if he does that, he's going to go to a level it's going to be pretty tough to beat here. So I think Attrition's a horse that I've also pegged as a potential Toorak handicap winner as well, but I think he can win this Fee and Stakes on his way through to that race. So I think at $7.50, Attrition's a really good bet. And I think Pounding is definitely over the odds at $14 to win, $4 to place. As Mytho said, thought he was earlier in the show, thought he was good first up in the PB Lawrence Stakes, probably just ran out of puff a little bit late, but we know he'll improve on that effort. And we know how tough he is. He just doesn't run a bad race. So at $14, Pounding does interest me as well. But Attrition at $7.50, I think, is one of the better bets on the card at the Valley on Saturday.
I'm going to throw a few darts at some long ones here. I like Pounding, a genuine miler, at $14. I also think Goldman's three Australian runs, albeit over long distances, have been super. Now, he's up against the tougher field here, and he's got greater targets over bigger trips this spring. But I don't see why he can't run a good one fresh at the mile. It's a distance he's had success at before, maybe a 1x3 each way play at $27. I thought Goldman was the touch overs. And also Francesco Guardi, who we haven't seen for quite some time and is on a Melbourne Cup path. Chris Waller said on radio this week, if he runs a bottler here, then they'll look at the Cox Plate as well. And Cox Plate in the Melbourne Cup has been a successful play for Waller stable before. Yes, Tom?
Francesco Guardi did run in the Wink Stakes first up. So this is he'll be second up after that layoff after the spring. But interesting point with Goldman, Roger. Gay Waterhouse started another stay in this race a number of years, 10 years ago, in fact. Fiorente won this race in impressive fashion on the way to winning his Melbourne Cup as well. So a couple of parallels there with Goldman. And last time we saw Goldman at the races, he won the Roy Higgins by almost three lengths. And the horse he beat that day was Solcombe, who's come out and won the Headley in impressive fashion last week. It is now one of the favourites for the Caulfield Cup and the Melbourne Cup. So a lot of strong form lines around Goldman there at that $27.
Yes, so we'll go with that. Wow. Goldman and also Francesco Guardi, small play there as well. Don't forget Pounding, play your multiples. Also, you know, don't forget to throw the favourite into those multiples as well. But let's find some value.
So explain this to me, Peter. I'm gonna educate our listeners. We do all that form analysis, and we're talking handicaps and set weights races rather than weight for age racing. Now, Pounding's in this boat as well. We stepped him up to weight for age racing in the autumn to run an Australian Cup, and he's run third, and we've suddenly thought, gee, we might have a weight for age horse here. Which is the weight for age horse? And Globe, I reckon, false favourite here. Because I want to see it run at weight for age level before we start loading up and making it favourite. It's won a benchmark race and come through its grades in benchmark 64s. Can you explain to me what's the difference between that handicapper set weights and penalties horse and the genuine weight for age horse? Not many are able to do it, are they? Mr. Brightside has in recent times been able to progress through, win handicaps and then go on to weight for age. But we're talking about a lot of horses that don't really fit that weight for age category.
Oh, listen, no argument there at all, Anthony, with this lot. I think this is a race full of progressive horses, and it's a race predominantly full of horses that are going to be looking at longer races down the track. And I think for mine, and I'll keep on bowling here and give you my assessment of the race and then come back to yourself for your own tips. It's going to be a race where you're going to look back on for a lot of spring guiders, your Francesco Guardi's, Virtuous Circles, Attrition's, Goldman's, and the likes. For mine, I'm looking for horses that are probably nearly more handicappers. And I think you would nearly say, honestly, this is a race of handicappers in weight for age racing. Tuvalu, the highest rated horse in the race, is a Toorak handicap winner, a handicap winner. There's not many weight for age winners in that. And Pounding's fits in that category as well. He's performed but hasn't won at weight for age, and there's a fair bit of difference. I'm looking at something like a mare like Deny Knowledge. And I think patterns during the day, this is race nine, see how the Valley's playing. Let's be honest, the Valley's been a minefield lately, and I'm not having a crack at Marty Sinan here. I think the Valley's just got to a stage where the track's probably a bit worn out. A bloke like Marty Sinan, who is a great curator, is working with an old tool here and trying to present the best surface every week. So have a good look at how things are playing on pace, near fence, or do you need to be three deep midfield and peel? And that's going to determine your best chances in the race. Now, if it's playing on speed, near fence, a mare like Deny Knowledge, with a lot of these stayers in the race, is probably going to get a pretty soft lead, I would have thought, unless Jamie Carr fires Globe out from that awkward gate. Globe's the favourite on potential, not on form. If this race was judged on form, let's be honest, Globe would be 33-1, even after winning four restricted races. But he's there on potential, and maybe after the race we'll say, well, have a look at him. He's the rising superstar amongst this lot. Maybe he just wins. But I need to see him go and do it like most of the panel by the sounds of it. I think Deny Knowledge, Tuvalu, Pounding, Pinstriped, I think they're the sort of horses that could quite possibly win this race. Once again, I think Pounding at 14s and 4s the place from my stable is going to be a tremendous chance. I think he will improve again, as most of these will. But have a look at track pattern. If it's playing on fence, near speed, I think Deny Knowledge, I would imagine she's probably double each way odds. I reckon she'll be the one to beat. If it's playing, you've got to be wide and swooping. That's where those horses are going to get into the race. Even a mare like Luna Flair's got a touch of class, Goldman and so on. So it'll be very interesting to watch. The answer for me is nearly a pineapple, but if I was having a wager, knowing is believing, and I'd have something each way Pounding, my own runner in the race, because I think he maps to get a nice run just behind the speed. And if it is playing off the fence, he can come to that part of the track, and I think he'll run very well.
Yeah, well, coming back to my tip, Moods, I'll stick with you. I'll have him a 50 each way on Pounding, given that he's a horse that had his one chance at weight for age. He almost pinched the Australia Cup, and I think the 1600 probably suits him better. So I'll happily go that way. And if there's a genuine weight for age star amongst this lot, may it put its hand up and get that golden ticket into the Ladbrokes Cox plate.
Well, as Mitho just mentioned, it is win and you're in this Saturday in the Valley for Ladbrokes Cox Plate qualifier day with the winner of the Group 2 Clam Seafood Fan Stakes receiving that golden ticket into the 2023 Ladbrokes Cox Plate. A massive day for black type races, including the Middies McEwen Stakes, the Group 2, where Giga Kick lines up to kick off his spring campaign alongside Imperatrix. It's the only chance Victorians get to see him in the flesh this spring. The Ladbrokes Mates and Legends Lunch is the ultimate way to enjoy it. It's an all-inclusive hospitality pack, three-course lunch, beverages, hosted by Nick Quinn and Josh Gibson, the three-time AFL Premiership player, Sports Pick Punters Club, door prizes, plus heaps of giveaways throughout the day. Get your tickets at thevalley.com.au or call 1-300-843-825. Now,
I cannot believe that would not be sold out, Rog. Why would that not be? You got Giga Kick, you got the best racing. Why isn't it sold out?
Why? Because I'm not hosting this year.
It will be sold out once all the Moody on the Mic listeners get around it over the next couple of days, once this goes whooshka into their podcast feeds. Let's give them something to back when they're at the track at the Ladbrokes Mates and Legends Lunch. Rayman, best bet, kick us off.
Yeah, it's a tricky day for a best bet, Rog. There's a lot of horses I'm very keen on, but just zeroing in on the best bet is a little bit tricky. But I'm gonna stick at the Valley, and I'm gonna be backing a horse trained by our very own Peter Moody, who I'm looking forward to hearing his thoughts on said horse. But I'm going to the Valley, race one, number 7, Autumn Angel, who's currently $2.70 with Ladbrokes. I really liked what this filly did first up at Ladbrokes Park Sandown. Won by almost two lengths, and it was a very soft win. I think she might be much better horse than the company that she's racing in here on Saturday. And similar to Nunthorpe, I think a horse that can progress through the grades this spring. So I'm going nice and early at the Valley, race one, number 7, Autumn Angel.
I almost went with a Moody horse for my best bet, but I thought I'll leave it to the big fella to explain it. Molly Nickers is the one I'm interested to hear about. She looks very, very good. I'm on Stepardi, though. I'm on the Stepardi bandwagon. I have been since that last preparation. I've got a little Cox Plate futures bet on the three-year-old at 50s, and I very much want to see him win here around the valley. Oh, and he's in, I don't even know which race he's in, but you'll find it's race four, I think.
Race five, the Mackenzie Stakes.
There you go.
Excellent. Righto. So from a Rosemont point of view, I'm going to give you some value, and we're going to have to beat Molly Nickers home. But Treasure Way has come back bigger, better, and stronger than her two-year-old season, where she showed toughness and a grit to place, and then finish her campaign with a Group 3 win in South Australia. She's very talented, and she's gone forward since then. She trialled against Giga Kick and came from back in that trial last and ran Giga Kick to reasonably close second. She's done not a lot wrong, and I didn't think with Jamie Carr on that we'd be betting $19 about her in race six at Moonee Valley in the Atlantic Jewel Stakes. Can't believe the odds. Way overs, thought she'd be sort of somewhere around $6, $7, $8 mark. Got to beat Charmstone, got to beat Molly Nickers, but she is the Group 3 winner that has improved since her two-year-old prep. So take that on board, punters, and hopefully you can fill your boots before the Fian Stakes.
We've also got Ladbrokes Racing Club and Rosemont combining at Morfordville as well. Race 3, number 9, Everly, the speedy filly. She was the, at first and only at this stage, Thoroughbreds winner for the Ladbrokes Racing Club. She goes around at Morfordville, Race 3, number 9, $5.50 at the moment with Ladbrokes. She's a very, very speedy filly. She's a stable favourite. She'll go forward and give them something to catch once again. So it's a step up in class, but she's fast, this filly. So give her strength, Everly, in Race 3 at Morfordville.
Yeah, and the colours are running well at the moment, so you can back both those with a bit of confidence each way. Moods.
And I have been hearing whispers on Treasure Way for the last few weeks around traps in Victoria and Jason Warren's stable on fire, a double at Caulfield the other day, so I'd be keeping a close eye on Treasure Way there in the Atlantic Jewel Stakes. My filly, Molly Nickers, unfortunately we've come up 10 of 10 in that particular race, and I think track pattern will probably play a part and where she, what her chances are and the way the track races. I would imagine Charmstone, who looks very, very promising, is probably the horse to beat and probably has the tactical advantage over my filly Molly Nickers and could, you know, be probably four or five lengths in front of her in the run. But Molly Nickers is going well. She's had a slight freshen up off the back of two good wins, and I think she'll run particularly well there. But do respect Charmstone and Treasure Way, as the drums have been beating Treasure Way for a little while here in the camp. So that's Molly Nickers. I think if pattern suits, she can run very well, but certainly respect the others there. Race one, Autumn Angel. I think she's a very progressive filly. This is a filly I've sort of pegged as quite possibly being my Oaks type filly. So the step up to 1,500, I think, suits her ideally. Drawn to get a nice run, probably not too far off the speed. I think she'll run extremely well. We've touched on Pounding in the Fian Stakes. I think he's each way to nothing. I think he'll run extremely well all day. And the very consistent Hennessy Lad rounds out our day in the last. He's going to come in on the limit weight after Carlene Heffel's claim, drawn a little bit wide, and he's another one that track pattern will dictate to where he goes, but he rolls forward, puts himself into the race, and if that's not a disadvantage, he'll run very well. So, punters, I reckon you can nearly include my four runners at the Valley in all some way, shape or form in some form of a multiple, but I like Rain Man. I think my best bet of the weekend will be Autumn Angel, race one, horse seven. Let's hope that kicks us off and puts something in the bag for you the rest of the day. We see the good horses, Libertad, Cylinder, Militarize, Return in Sydney, Stepardi, and a few nice fillies in Melbourne. The Fian Stakes, the win on your end of the Cox Plate. What terrific racing. But we're going to see some fast horses and none faster than Giga Kick. So let fast horses run fast. Ladbrokes.